interrupting the current neo-Uranial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM564. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport. The occupiers are hoping you don't believe that. That's the way international law works. So get you behind the woodshed. Don't let that happen to you. We get moving on here. Again, so much to cover every week now. Just a vast amount. All different directions to go. Look in the future, looking into the world, and things may not happen in the United States necessarily for us. What I speak to in our laws and what I think our laws are supposed to do, whether we enjoy them or not, it's just another problem. But we can look on the other side of the world, we can see reflections of what's happening to us and how other people will deal with that. Whether or not that we get to analyze whether or not it's actually viable and prepare ourselves in case something comes at us. As I was explaining in the Covey swindle, it's exactly what I did. December of 2019, I started to feel it was for real, I'm going to go happen, and then you saw it show up. And what was that based on? It was based on the pig's fly flu over a decade before, and it was based in the pumping of the flu, the anomalous flu, for three years. And I said, okay, this is what's going on. And it was. And I explained how right to get to where you go to protect yourself. And those of you that did, you either got left alone or you didn't have to suffer what most people did. And the couple people that I talked with didn't execute that very well. We have a problem in us. We think we're dealing with people that want to be honest. We have to stop doing that. They're not being honest to put wrong things on you without going to the law first of all. Secondly, you want to admit and confess too much. And so the two people that they had their paperwork set up on that, they essentially capitulated their position by not properly standing in the law. And so this is a very important thing to start understanding as we read in a health field, they call it, but it is a global condition. It's on us. And how it starts to encroach in the world, how they start coming. They use little things here and there, and they get bigger and bigger and farther into other aspects of life. WHO, that's the WHO, not the rock group, the owl, the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization report proposes working with social media providers and law enforcement to control disinformation. And my only observation on that, will law enforcement immediately arrest the WHO officials and their criminal cohorts when they violate local communicable disease law or cause a panic that alarms the citizenry? I think I'd be for that. Next. More from the sustainable global citizen loony predatory usurpers. We hear EU-funded European Digital Media Observatory calls for the whole of society approach to countering disinformation. Pray tell, what is this globally whole society in a world of sovereign countries the digital approach is to work upon? And I think that all by itself is disinformation on its face, isn't it? Next. It's also here is a product of our full attendance, Ivy League, no dunce left behind, preparing sustainable Harvard hack school system that I'll be reporting on here in a few minutes. What they're doing to your little ones is this big educated dunce here, Senator Mark Warner, argues, quote, misinformation or disinformation, close quote, shouldn't have First Amendment protections. The First Amendment was designed to protect citizens from ideas like Senator Warner's. Senator Mark Warner has aggressively gone after speech protection, seeking to seemingly single-handedly reinterpret the First Amendment while complaining that the courts dealing with the White House big tech collusion are now making the Biden administration very timid. The Democrat apparent proceeds from the rule, disinformation is whatever he says it is, with Wagner building a big case for rethinking the First Amendment and facilitating censorship even further by effectively strengthening rather than abandoning said collusion. Strengthening collusion. Well, he's a Capital Cellular Corporation co-founder and second richest Congress creator senator by reports that I've read. But I only want to touch on something here that Uniparty esteems very highly. Science, showing its extreme, actually scientism, where theories of learned men may take a century or more to be disproven only by scientifically replaced sometime later with a new truth. With that, who can be legitimately, objectively designated scientifically the arbiter of truth for today? And if it is anyone here living, why didn't they announce the truth of the great Covey swindle? Next, these people, folks. Does my listener again here think this is far-fetched? Think carefully here. World Economic Forum pushes the interoperability of centralized currency to ensure global success. Let's get that right off the bat. Global success, not your success. CBDCs allow governments to monitor and control how citizens spend their money. WEF, World Economic Forum, if you haven't ever heard of them, has a whole white paper dedicated to interoperability entitled Central Bank Digital Currency Global Interoperability Principles. For instance, in the Bahamas, the retail CBDC has been around since 2019, and it's called the Sand Dollar. Don't build your house on sand, folks, but here it is, the Sand Dollar, pegged now to the U.S. dollar. If anyone thought the dollar was going anywhere in the multipolar, bipolar global financial system with the New World Order. Next, and whom else might they be planning the future that they want for or from you while secretly pumping an undercover of the fountain of global turmoil? Not like Davos, European bank bosses rub shoulders with VIPs at Secret Forum. The Institut International d'Etudes Bancaires, International Institute of Banking Studies, or IIEB, remains Europe's most secretive organization where the bank bosses rub shoulders with a whole array of VIP guests such as central bankers, presidents, prime ministers, and royalty. The IIEB was founded in Paris in 1950 by the heads of four European lenders. And there's the answer. European lenders. Folks, just outlaw usury and fiat. The article goes on to say here, there has been almost no press coverage of the IIEB's activities during the more than seven-decade history. Quote, this is not like Davos where anyone can buy their way in. This is really is exclusive, an unnamed IIEB member told FT, referring to the annual meetings of the World Economic Forum in the Swiss town of Davos. Twice a year, the IIEB brings together the heads of Europe's biggest banks who discuss a number of sensitive issues related to global policy making. We'll say that again, global policy making at posh hotels and royal palaces across the continent. Notably, the organization has no website with membership, agendas, and minutes not made public. And on top of that, members are reportedly discouraged from sharing details of the discussions, apart from being influential. So you've heard about like interoperability behind which head. You've heard about being influential and how that powerful that is, and how to stay in the shadows to do all this. This is what this organization does. You don't see hear many, much of it, but this is the future that they wanted. These are the they. It's again an economic construct. So here's, if you heard what they did there, what the secrets are, what they want to keep away, that's one form of your model going forward. If and you didn't hear it, it says, notably, the organization has no website with membership, agendas, and minutes that are not public. On top of that, members are reportedly discouraged from sharing details of discussions, apart from being influential financial forum. And there, I've been talking about this. We the people are going to have to figure out how to mimic what they're doing, which is very successful. People in this United States of America, for sure, do not understand how metastasized this thing called sustainable development already is and affects everything you do. And it's been there since the 80s, how secretly they brought this stuff in. So I just repeated a section there. I'll let my astute listener parse for the clues, constructs, and capacities that these folks follow that you never heard about for 70 years, and look at what they get done. to your, well, it's your benefit, right? But that benefit is like a civil right. It's an exaction. It's a extortion of every kind and no other. And here to show Russia isn't actually being cut out of the global financial system, as I've been saying in this article, it also says IIEB's meeting in Russia took place in St. Petersburg in 2013 with then-Russian President Dmitry Medvedev addressing participants with a speech. So I'm sure once Putin got done fixing Carlson's beef, he took off his chef's hat and returned to the plotting and planning the future that they want, unless he too is blinded by the scientism of sustainable future digital gulags. And I really don't think so. So I've been talking about it. And this is what we have talked about, that influence is what undue and fraudulent influence looks like, as we read Rockefeller's behind Biden's new LNG, liquid natural gas, exports ban. The United States president last month paused approvals for gas export terminals, citing climate change reasons. People familiar with the matter told the newspaper the Rockefellers, along with the other wealthy donors, including former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, have provided millions of dollars in recent years to environmental groups campaigning against fossil fuel projects, including an LNG terminals that have been proposed on the Gulf Coast. Dem bones, folks. That's what they believe this oil comes from. At any rate, and this is also happened, actually coincidentally, to the mess with Texas relative to the border issue. If Biden pulled this off, Biden ordered a pause on LNG exports from new projects in the country on January 26, citing that their potential contribution to climate change. They got our attention, a senior Biden administrator. This is the Rockefellers got their attention, folks. Influence. Just from, I guess, thinking about it, senior Biden administration officials said, well, wait a minute, there was a bit about those donations, weren't there? An interesting political bribe, I think. A senior Biden administration official said about the activist efforts, describing the campaign as intense. And here's another model for you. Be intense in your influence and be influential. I don't know how you go up against all this money, but mass does work. We've seen it over again. The report here indicated that the Rockefeller Family Fund, a charity created by some of the heirs of oil magnate John D. Rockefeller, launched an initiative called the Funding Collaborative on Oil and Gas to encourage green funders to do more. Meanwhile, according to the WSJ, a few days after Biden's announcement, Sarah Brennan, an associate director of the Rockefeller Family Fund, wrote in an email to environmental groups saying that, quote, the pause is the result of a sustained four-year push that built upon years of opposition to gas imports by community groups and lawyers. Brennan added that the White House recognized the power of this campaign. Now, how many words are they using in this to tell you what I've been telling you about what they're actually doing relative to sustainable development? It's working already, and it has influence, and they know are organized. And so we're going to meet up with that. You've got to start taking your notes from who is successful. Don't try to reinvent the wheel on this one. But so let's get this euphemism straight on this story. Or this isn't any campaign power. Lawful power is particularly lawfully enumerated thing or official privilege that's bestowed. To the contrary here, this is an undue and unfraudulent influence unlawfully depriving people of their property and rights appurtenant to that property. And this is privately organized influence, official treason through and to using extortion and coercion, as I've explained to you, to go find your statutes, to go find what those two words are and what the elements are. There's many elements, about four or so, depending on the state, and they come unwarranted to take your property. Or they come by a commission or omission to do so, and they then affect that property. And then if that's the extortion, if they affect the right to that property, that's coercion, and they're felonies in the states I've found. But that's how they do this. This is an unwarranted obstruction to property rights and a national security under color of fraudulent authority. And go read those statutes to see how you put this together. What I look at when I'm listening for these details, these stories, these notices to us of what's going on. They're cutting the throat of the people and business in this country due to a fraud, climate change. But it's just a part of a bigger thing, the Sustainable Development Goals, which is part of a bigger thing as well, or the goals of 2030, just to get you there a certain spot. And who's behind it all? Go read those Agenda 2030. You get about two-thirds through, it's going to be perpetual debt. Your responsibility to these people and the bankers and these money funds and charities are going to be the controllers of that in the digital gulag. Now, one globally successful, profitable player controlling interoperable global speak through social currency censorship, YouTube CEO vows to censor hate speech and boost authoritative sources in recommendations when people look for election news in 2024, which seems to be the election interference anyway, right on its face, for those of you believing in that. But YouTube CEO Neil Mohan has a post up on the company blog just in time to, well, in advance, reiterate the giant's platform policies regarding the upcoming elections. YouTube will use its massive resources and the way the platform is structured, such as a search and recommendations, to wipe out what it chooses to consider, it considers hate speech. Again, in quotes, this is almost impossible to define, but here it is, hate speech, and at the same time boost authoritative sources even more. But I won't read more. You can find these links, go to the links and read them. Start getting your eyes full of what this is. I won't read more of the gory details on this. For imposing inevitable, the they will say behavioral proper think system speak controls. This is what this is all about. Again, Agenda 2030 and sustainable development are about controlling your behavior to get the future they want. It absolutely takes your consent. And that's the behavior can be not doing anything. Again, the crickets. They will win if we do that. But remember, they don't know what authoritative is until they be brought behind the woodshed. It's the focus, the model for us on how we're going to protect ourselves. And again, it may not be the one next to you that won't do it. You protect yourself. You protect your family. You learn how to. You explain that to your little ones. It's going to be imperative how we move this through and have a basic understanding. I'm barely touching the surface of all this all the time. I can't really get into it. Anybody that talks to me behind the scenes, they see how deep it goes quick. But it's not impossible to start getting, and once you start hearing it, it starts to line up better. And the only way that works is if you have something that you want to work on. You just can't make hypotheticals. You can do a little bit of hypothetical, but that's not really going to help, actually. Something here that is fully funded and moving without delay against our little ones, that I talked about in reference earlier in the broadcast here already. The little ones, while we gawk at all this stuff, is the other point. The great Kobe Swindle reset primed everyone for track and trace, now coming to a school near you. And as we read, biometric scanning is increasing, making its way into American schools. I mean, that just floors me just to even read that very first headline. But there it is. High school in Maine is the next to take the plunge. So who's taking the plunge on this? Who took the plunge in the great Kobe swindle? Bill Gates said, right in their arm. We'll shove it right in their arm. Your little ones will take the plunge and drown in the plunge pool of the digital gulag as they move this forward. The Aroostook County, Maine, Caribou High School is at the forefront of adopting invasive biometric scanning and technology to monitor student attendance. This initiative and collaboration with Identimatrix, a leader in biometric solutions, involves capturing, storing, and using students' fingerprints. Around 460 students at the school will be subject to this new attendance tracking system. Like, no one at the school knows little Jack or Jill what they look like or that they aren't in school, which I don't know, anybody who's been a mother or father knows all about that part. This is not even a question, but I guess they now have a question. They've just gone, maybe it was jab harm. They've gone stupid. Now they need a technocracy. Here it comes, ready to go. And you know these what they can't know with this bio identimetrics. I can't know the vulnerable data warden has no clue otherwise. Once they go into data, once they go into digits, it becomes something that AI has to parse, which is error-prone, remember. And there's no way this AI warden can understand you unless they get this biodata. There's just no way. It's already going to facial recognition. This is really not even a new story. I just want to point out in the continuum of the notice this week, these things are coming up. And we have when your little digital trustee doesn't show up or is AI erroneously not identified, the state's custodial agent, the parent, gets thrown in jail and docked social cred. As we move right in and read, a judge in Missouri, that's right, the United States here now, the judge in Missouri sentenced a single mother to jail where her kindergartner missed school. Student truancy can still go to court. Wow. 5-year-old. This is not even, these are laws in the books, but they're really starting to press them hard. The 5-year-old missed the schools for a doctor's appointment. The next day, he had a fever. Once his mother had car trouble, and the boy missed a day. Another time, his family fell sick with COVID-19. Well, it's an excuse for the government to kill everybody, but I guess not for this family. And then there was you can't miss a day of school, folks. It's going to be no one left behind, I'm sure, of how they could inculcate your little ones. And then there was a day he missed school when his mother brought him to his brother's medical appointment, knowing she would not make it to school to pick him up on time. The kindergarten racked up 14 absences in 5 or so months, half of them without explanation, according to the Missouri School District, which steered the case to prosecutors. His mother, Tamara LaRue, was convicted of violating the state's compulsory attendance law, a verdict that the Supreme Court upheld several months later. Land of the free, folks. Home of the brave. Really? Yeah. It's for women and children, folks. That's what they tell us. We can still read here in the story. We see lots of states that have policies where parents can be sanctioned for truancy, said Nina Solomon, Deputy Division Director of Corrections and Reentry with the Council of State Governments Justice Center. They can end up in jail. They can have a significant number of fines and fees. Your civil rights associated with truancy petitions. There are a lot of different approaches across the country. More than 14.7 million students across the country were considered chronically absent in 2021 and 2022, right in the middle of this COVID swindle, 80% higher than before the pandemic, according to researchers. And this is a state-created condition to boot. The failure to faithfully adhere to that local communicable disease law requiring, among other things, non-fraudulent demonstration of that infectious agent and in the infectious principle is what was at stake during that time as well. The state's causing this stuff. And did any of you doubt I could get from bioidentimetrics to the great COVID swindle of state causation and profit for more control implementing the Great Reset? Yeah, I hope you are already there without me, folks. I hope you start seeing this. This is what it's going to take. Once you start seeing this, it's not like a belaboring thing. You get right to the point. You start to learn right where to go. And I can just tell you, after all these years, I'm listening to people that have listened to me. And thank you very much for those of you listening. I just get a better feeling. I listen to your words. I listen to your logic. I listen to your studies, most importantly, the fortification you bring. And there are quite a few people out there that are, to me, now I'm having less hesitation. I'm hoping that we get more and more people to be able to start looking through this and seeing, if you want to talk about going to school, you put yourself behind a woodshed, maybe different than what I say, educate yourself to what's going on. It's a whole different view. What you do with that is different as well, and then what you're up against is even more different. But you got to start somewhere if you have any idea to avoid these sorts of things. And all this is brought to you by people that could care less about you as they impose the foreign rights of child over your life, the same rights, oh child, that brought children's services to the state. And you can see where that got everyone, despite Epstein not killing himself. The human cost of Kamala Harris's war on truancy. This becomes a little bit more pressing as you watch the news and what's going on with Biden and this kind of thing. the progressive prosecutor, I guess that was her name, wanted to transform how California responded to students missing school. Parents like Cherie Peoples wound up paying the price. On the morning of April 18, 2013, in the Los Angeles suburb of Buena Park, a throng of photographers positioned themselves on a street curb and watched as two people, police officers, entered a squat townhouse. Now, understand the organization to get this media here on the corner to look at this. Who gave the phone call? But here it is. They're sending a message. But onto the story. Minutes later, their cameras began clicking. The officers had reemerged with a weary-looking woman in pajamas and handcuffs, and the photographers were jostling to capture every step. Quote, "You would swear I'd killed somebody," the woman Cherie Peoples said in his recent interview. In fact, Cherie Peoples is this woman's name, Peoples, had been arrested for her daughter's spotty school attendance record under a truancy law that the then California Attorney General Kamala Harris had personally championed in the state legislature. The law championed, folks. Law enacted in January 2011 made it criminal misdemeanor for parents to allow kids in kindergarten, I'll get that word one time in this broadcast maybe, kindergarten, through a eighth grade to miss more than 10% of the school's days without valid excuse. So notice the acceptability of the excuse means that it's not determined by the parent. This word parent's a legal term. So I've said this over and over. You got to be real careful about this. When I talk about the word of the state and the child and all that, these are all legal terms. You don't put your definition on these. I'll guarantee that. This is international level agreements that are going on and foisted upon your local government and accepted, which is even worse. These local officials are just incorrigible. It requires people to start looking there. And so don't forget here, even the kids fully attending are not scholastic achievers as you look at the standard of this force that goes on. They're not scholastic achievers any longer, meaning the truant may actually be ahead of the game in a political environment where no child is left behind the delinquent except by penalty of the custodial ward of the state, the parent of the state's child going to jail to protect that one from the state itself. That's why the penalty's there. But the state knew of additional hardships on this, but that doesn't matter apparently in this case. Peoples has a soft manner and a voice and has dedicated most of her adult life caring for Shayla, who has lived with sickle cell anemia, a serious genetic illness that causes her acute pain and requires frequent hospitalization and medical procedures since birth. Shayla frequently missed school because she was in too much pain to leave the house or was hospitalized for long-term care. Her school was aware of these circumstances. At the time of her arrest, Peoples claims she was fighting with the school to get it to agree to additional accommodations under an individualized education plan, which she said the school had rejected. I want you to pay attention to the status of a parent here in this and what the state's power is relative to that diminished custodial ward, custodian's rights. You don't really have any. And they're showing it in this article. This is a young woman who spends a lot of time of her life in the hospital, people said. How is it that she's giving off the impression of being a gang member, but why are they coming after her? And don't underestimate her name on this article as sending the message to all peoples in the state and elsewhere. Again, not just California, Missouri, Maine. It's all around. It's coming in. When I looked at this coming here a decade or so ago, it's really frightening. It's like you just don't want to be a mother or father. You realize what's coming down. And that you are, then you're going to advocate, learn what you're up against. And start learning how to think about what you're looking at. Don't walk into with your bias and perception of what you think is going on. Look at how it actually plays out. This is like you can't escape it. So when I found out I couldn't escape these folks, you better understand the rules of the game. It's a big game, but it's a plunder. It's a predatory occupational force. And that's what you have to try to avoid it. You don't want to get into a fight with it. It's way bigger than you. It may be way more mobile. Again, and then they embarrass you in the most vulnerable ways as well. dragging you out, didn't just call you down. No, no, they'd go down and cop the media and drag you out with your pajamas, if that. And wow, then you're separated, your family gets separated, they get in between it. It's real serious, this stuff. And I don't want to feel like I'm scaring some people as I talk about it. Don't be afraid. Learn the rules. Learn how this works. In a mandatory state, there still, I think, has to be a way for the little ones to not have to go to school. Find those rules and use those. Teach your kids at home. I mean, make sure that you take some separation and start looking to see how you protect yourself. The state Supreme Court here authorized cagings. Here can be a death sentence when you can't pay your extorted civil rights. I mean, are you believing this story? These stories I've run across here just this week, I could not believe what I was seeing. A woman died serving time in jail for her children's truancy fines. Let me remind you again, it's been coming up every week now, fines. These are fees and fines, these are penalties. These are your civil rights. The woman died serving jail time for this. The Guardian investigated U.S. truancy data and how states try to enforce laws for keeping kids in class. I suppose these are the little human goats, the kids. Earlier in this month, a Berks County, Pennsylvania mother died in jail while serving a 48-hour sentence handed down because she couldn't pay her truancy fines, her children's truancy fines. She owed about $2,000 in fines and another court costs, which had piled up over more than a decade, according to the AP. This is, in my mind, nothing more than debtor's prison that's instituted by the state itself. So from the article, do U.S. laws that punish parents for truancy keep their kids in school? I'll remind you again, 42 U.S.C. 1981 punishments is an equal right. It's known as civil rights. 42 U.S.C. 1981. Start reading the news with this in your mind and you'll see a whole new world. And it's not pretty. And yet the people are silent to it. And apparently one of these truancy cases, the mother goes to jail. She's dead within the time. While the woman's story took a particularly tragic turn, many more parents across the U.S. face fines and jail time over their children's unexcused school absences. Just how many is hard to quantify nationally or even at state levels, but Berks County School District alone has imprisoned over 1,600 people, mostly women, for failing to pay truancy fines between 2013, according to the local paper. So remember, folks, all this it's about women and children, folks. That's what they tell us. And observe how the woman died is not mentioned. Go read the story. I had to read the end of it. I said, wait a minute, there's something missing. How'd this woman die? It's not mentioned. Never touched on again, ever. It's more important that you understand the penalties and be afraid. We don't care about the custodian dying. We'll get another one. It's called the state. In livestock keeping, it's not important, Kamala Harris and the rest of the post-founding father era Lincolnized uniparty certainly don't care on this. They don't care about any of it. They're going to just move these agendas forward. And this story here is from 2014. We thought we were just coming up this week. No, these are just amazing, appalling, and they're still happening. We hear all these stories here that did get my attention this week. Many states have similar punishments. That's your civil rights right there. Go read it. 42 U.S.C. 1981. Punishments is an equal civil right, codified in law. But according to Joanne Halbron, director of the National Center of School Engagement and several other educational policy organizations who responded to the Guardian's request, there is no concrete data to back up the idea that fining and jailing parents helps truancy. Now put that little element into your calculus of this these governments and what they do. They didn't even work out how that does it. It doesn't matter that the end doesn't justify the means, essentially, certainly killing a mother. But your government is interested in protecting Ukraine and the sacred Zionist Federation and the people cheerleading that their next leader to keep this abomination instead of the Republic. And remember, Trump stopped none of this stuff at all either. And it's not like those of us at the JMD didn't try. 4 certified mail letters, you've heard me talk about this. Not even a thank you for your concern, but go to Hades letter. Not even that much from the guy who started the Covey swindle. without authority. Remember, you need to understand how simple this was. Federal agencies, federal government, federal president has no authority up front for health matters. And you saw him come out, and I told you he'd do it, and then the states would follow, which told you it was completely inverted, and he would propose to cover all the states. In other words, fund the bribe that we found existed coming down, and how you could just see that coming. I want you all to start seeing these things in the news. They're telling us, they're giving us the notice that this stuff exists, and there's ways. I've read in just about every subject matter, if you know enough, you can avoid this kind of stuff. Part of it's not engaging at all. You're going to have to do alternatives. So 4 certified letters to Trump, yeah, no, they didn't even give us the go to Hades letter. No, everyone keeps cheerleading while the fellow Americans are mistreated by these foreign occupiers. It's just pretty disgusting, generally. And sometimes I wonder why I keep talking about it when I see so few relative to the population getting this and understanding it. And speaking of which, New Mexico officers won't face charges in the fatal shooting at wrong address. Really, I can't even get, how do we get to the point when we continue to hear that these cops are killing people? The New Mexico Department of Justice has decided not to press charges against 3 officers, police officers involved in the shooting death of a Farmington man in April after they responded to the wrong house during a domestic violence call. The letter, signed by Deputy Attorney General Greer E. Staley, said that the Department of Justice found that the officers did not use excessive force under the circumstance that they discharged their weapons. Now, I took an issue, I guess, with this. The finger pressure on the trigger to discharge your weapons should not be the deciding factor when considering excessive force when killing innocent people here. The article goes on to say, police knocked on Dotson's door at 11:30 p.m. on April 5th, according to the complaint filed by Dotson's family court. Dotson grabbed his gun from the top of a refrigerator. It's at night now. Top of a refrigerator, went over to open the front door. The complaint says the police vehicles were parked down the street and did not have their lights on. 3 officers standing outside the door immediately opened fire, according to the complaint. Dotson was hit by 12 bullets. His wife, Kimberly, wearing just her robe, came down the stairs to find out what happened, and the complaint says, and the officials fired an additional 19 bullets at her, but missed. That's not too good a gun control, luckily for her. Again, innocent people at night, folks. New Mexico Department of Justice said that officers approach, knock on the door, an announcement at the incorrect address did not foreseeably create an unnecessarily dangerous situation. Now, clearly, in a country where people have the right to defend themselves by the arm, that they've been given right to do so, going to the wrong home creates the very foreseeably unnecessary dangerous situation they deny. Knocking on the wrong door was the excessive force used, but for the excessive force, a man would be alive if they had been a lot more considerate of who they're dealing with. The evidence after evidence here shows the cops and attorneys protect and serve themselves, taking opportunistic credit when someone needs help or isn't killed. At least that's my experience. Now, speaking of opportunistic and being caught, AI cannot be used to deny health care coverage, feds clarify to insurers. Health insurance companies cannot use algorithms or artificial intelligence to determine care or deny coverage to members of the Medical Care Advantage plans and the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services, clarified in a memo sent to all Medicare Advantage insurers. The memo, formatted like an FAQ, remember, that's Reagan's imposition. They give you a question, and then they answer it so that we understand better. But they're formatted like an FAQ. This is not just the standard they just pulled out of the air. This is mandated by federal law that they talk to us like little kids. At any rate, it can be helpful, but it's certainly not very comprehensive. Like an FAQ on Medicare Advantage MA plan rules comes just months after patients filed a lawsuit claiming that the United Health and Humana have been using a deeply flawed AI-powered tool to deny care to elderly patients on MA plans. The lawsuit, which seeks class action status, center on the same AI tool that called NH Predict, used by both insurers and developed by Navi Health and United Health subsidiary. It's unclear how NH Predict works exactly, the black box again, folks, but it reportedly uses the databases of 6 million patients to develop its predictions. Still, according to people familiar with the software, it only accounts for the small set of patient factors, not a full look at the patient's individual circumstances. But that isn't even the point underneath the analysis. This, they say, is a clear no-no, according to the CMS memo. Before coverage decisions, insurers must, quote, base the decision on the individual patient's circumstances. So an algorithm that determines the coverage based on a large data set instead of the individual patient's medical history, the physician's recommendations, or clinical notes would not be compliant. Look at how much information. Looks like you're getting something, and it's not applicable. They puff up their authority here. But in all, the CMS finds the AI tools can be used by insurers when evaluating coverage, but really only as a check to make sure the insurer is following the rules. Not a diagnostic, no, and following the rules that Medicare requires or Medicaid requires for these people to get their money from the government. This is what grants are about. An algorithm of software tool should only be used to ensure fidelity with coverage criteria, the CMS wrote. And because, quote, publicly posted coverage criteria are static and unchanging, artificial intelligence cannot be used to shift the coverage criteria over time and apply hidden coverage criteria. Very important. They're exposing how we're being taken out, too, as well in this article. But what a quaint idea, don't you think? Follow the rules? Wow. How cool is that? Following the rules. AI. Let me jump over here, and I just remembered something that we're talking about. What's next? You know, I went next. What's next? Walk away from these things here, folks. I wanted to, if you can, these relative to all these internationalized, these modernized systems, starve the beast. You don't get into engaging it. You have to find the alternatives, as I've been saying. And I can't just stress this any more than I have been. We are a society that walked away from the narrow path. We that see this have to get back to the narrow path using the rules that are now there in place that the courts are not going to recognize outside of and or make it up even more. So how do we starve the beast? If you're listening to this broadcast, we're still in the month of February. Donate to support the work of Real Liberty Media to make YouTube irrelevant here. As I talked before about YouTube, what they're going to do on their censorship, help make censorship a thing of the past. And I say that, and that's kind of a big statement. I wrote that down. I'm thinking about it. Is that really something? A thought came to my mind. That's a big statement. But you know what? We can make that with the technology that's coming. So go, if you will, February here, donation month, go to reallibertymedia.com, find the donate button, and gift the network your 99% worth. That's 99 cents now, folks. So I looked around with the new distribution system going on. If from the thousands that now listen each week, literally, folks, if you go around all the platforms that are now going on, you add them all up, it's thousands listening. I don't know, I can't tell how long, but they're listening, they're showing up. Each week, all of you listening, donate 99 cents right now. At any time you hear this request, even out of February, it would finally set the RLM and Grimner's cause on the proper course, I believe. And there's some dedication now coming to do that. A lot of dedication. A lot of work has been happening in the last month. And if you don't even think 99 cents to thumb your nose at the 1% monopolies is enough, I think you should try us, go ahead and send even 99 cents. Those of you that donated earlier, thank you very much. Great big donations. But we need a little bit more. Donate right now. This is an imperative. Do not wait. You hear me say this? Whenever, wherever, go to RLM, hit the donate button, do what you can. Bring this network through its questions, and If you can donate more, please do. Don't limit us. I just figured out if there was just a dollar for everybody that listens, we would not have a problem. These bills aren't yet paid, which would save RLM from the literal brink of non-existence. It's not a done deal. I was talking a little bit optimistic last week, thinking that we'd have the same donation rate, that same amount of donations would come in and provide enough and some latitude to make, you know, more frugal use of the funds. But they didn't come in, to my chagrin. And though not laughing here, this was a serious reflection. It seems to me, about if I look through this, 99 cents given by each of the listeners shouldn't be that hard. If you're able, and maybe it isn't some of you, I'm not asking for that at all, but if those of you that could, 99 cents by everyone who's listening would help take the load off. Everyone would just be able to contribute. The load becomes light. This is what I talk about, mutual benefits, how you work together to do this. Hit the donate button and make this thing happen, folks. This is not, I don't even like doing the request, but we're in a dire strait. I was just shocked almost to not hear the donations continue after last week asking to go and help continue donating to, whether or not it's RLM, Grimner's Aspiration, Grimner's Legacy, the improving system I've talked about, my content. My content isn't worth 99 cents? I hope that's not a question. Sometimes it seems like it is, but we're ad-free, folks. That's got to be worth 99 cents to everyone, just to be able to say, yeah, we got one last network that don't do ads. And I know we're still a little bit light on the content, but it is on its way. Maybe here's a different idea. Pay us not to have ads, even though we don't. Whatever inspires you to donate today, right now, or into the future, go get the donate button and hit it. Support the guys and gals working behind the scenes right now. They're really working hard. And on day note, if you don't, if not for those reasons, donate to increase the capacity to present the soon-to-come onboard new hosts, or even holding the archive. It's all cost money, folks. We're not getting the return, and it's really close here. I thought it was done, but no, it's not. And so anything else here that might inspire you for underwriting this network, this effort, and the help, those that are doing this, please consider that. Donate today, folks. It really is almost too late. We're down to last week, I think, here on these, where the bills are absolutely need to be done, and the delay will eliminate the network. You got to have an internet face. You got to have a place to be. You got to have a host. You got to have the registrar. You got to have the infrastructure. And if 99 cents isn't enough, we won't complain if you want to give more. Absolutely. And like I said, the first few days, a few free weeks, you were very, very generous. Just not quite enough. And so we need I just said, well, if we're not going to get quite enough, why don't we get quite a bit more? And then we don't have to worry about it for sure. And so thank you again very much for all your support and what you can do. I wish I could know exactly what to tell you we're going to do. I can just tell you the plans that I've watched are in the development, and it's again learning about the technology to bring it forward. They're pulling together quite a few different conditions. So we're not AI here, and that's the other thing. We're trying to automate, but to do that takes a little bit of effort, people to do it, and then you've got people coming on board that are going to have to learn, be taught how to get onto the network, and then the bigger distribution system is coming, and so everyone's going to have to understand how to go through there. And I guess I should say right up front, if you want to be a host, please contact SoundMinds. Oh, I think it's RLM donation at reallibertymedia.com is another way. If you don't want to use PayPal, RLM donation at reallibertymedia.com. There's a find a send an email if you want to ask questions. For right now, if you want to be a host, and I think the hosts are going to have to be rehooked up. So they're working on that too to make it more automated. And like I said, hoping it works out. I was really surprised we didn't quite make it yet, and it's really, really close. So let's give them a chance. Even though we haven't seen much in the last few years since Grimner's been gone, I think the energy's there again. I think the talent is there to pull it off, and it's looking into the future. And I would just like to see someone pick this baton on and up and really make it run. And maybe we'll get a whole lot of cool hosts together and be the new fangled Neo network, the Matrix would would be terrified of, that again, we can play in the sewers and run around, and there's not going to be much they can do about it. But AI cannot be used to deny you health care. They tell you in this article, why I even brought it up more, they tell you it can be used for rules, not for making decisions about you fundamentally and substantially and materially. So this is the guidance that I've been telling you. They're saying it in this article. They tell you what the limits are within the government, what it's supposed to be put on. When you read these news articles, that's the list you start putting in your head, and hopefully you then go turn to your laws to find that's the case, so that when something happens to you, you know right where to turn. It doesn't take a lot of time. You do have to familiarize yourself, but you know right where to look. You take these little snippets of quotes that's coming out of the rules or the law, and you go find those sections, and you'll start reading that law. And I'm getting a lot of people commenting about about conscription, about the draft coming. Well, I don't think that's happening. I guess it's a big internet meme that went through. I'm telling people, if you're concerned, go find Selective Service, go see what they say, go find what you need to find, go find what the rules say, and place your little one within the context of that. They need to be involved. It's their decision when you come here, because they become a majority. They come of capacity to make the decisions. Explain the black and white to them so you can build your path where you want to go if you want to avoid the draft. And so that it's the same plan over and over, the same method for everything you might be oppressed with that the government wants to put on us. Or in this case, the government's coming to tell the people that are private the private companies, stop messing with people's care. You can't do what you're doing to cut care. Under the program, you're needing to fulfill the rules, and that is written to protect these people. In other words, this government agency came back and reminded companies, there are the rules, they have to follow, they're contractual, follow them. And here's the limits. And that's what I suggest you do, so you know what they are. Seizure, opportunistic here, folks. See, public-private partnerships, opportunistic. They're predatory, and we allow it. And you can be predated if you're quiet and hunker down. Yeah, the wild turkey can come and find your cricketness and pull it right from the world. But seizure, another word for opportunistic theft. And here, tell me if you haven't heard these international principles from behind the woodshed, as I've been talking about all this stuff. It's in the news all the time. All these things, if you didn't know anything about international law, didn't know about relationship, didn't know about international dealings and diplomacy and statesmanship, it's all in the news. You just start paying attention. And I say that because I don't see, there may be a few of you out there, maybe you've picked it up real quick and started running down the track here. But there's very few people I've ever talked to in all my time that have got this understood, that I can look in the news and I see the principles that you don't even have to, you can make it just a reading lesson if you know what you're reading for. Look right in the news. They're telling you what's going on. Again, the more you learn, the more you can parse through the truth. And that's important too. But let's see as we read through this, if things come up in your mind, the words, the principles that I've talked about in the past for a long time, is not also some of these are here in this article. U.S. seizure of Russian assets would axe hope for diplomacy, destroy Ukraine, says a senator. The possible confiscation of frozen Russian assets by the United States could convince Russia that any diplomatic solution is impossible and would result in a destroyed Ukraine, Senator Rand Paul said in an article for Responsible Statecraft on Thursday. Last month, the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committees advanced a bill dubbed the Rebuilding Economic Prosperity and Opportunity, REPO, for Ukrainians Act to authorize the transfer of seized Russian assets to Kiev. Confiscating Russia's sovereign assets is an act of economic war, Paul said, adding that the passage of this bill will only reinforce the view of hardliners in Moscow that the conflict lies not just with Ukraine, but really with the United States and the West. Let me interject right there. Haven't I been saying that since the moment they threw the sanctions up? That's exactly right. Finally, all this time finally coming out of a senator's mouth. Confiscating Russia's assets will also prove, no, understand, confiscating the assets that they've claimed, these bank values, these assets sitting in banks or wherever they're at, is on top of the sanctions, which was the first salvo of economic war. Confiscating these Russian assets will also prove to other nations, including China, that Washington cannot be trusted as a guarantor of the global economy, the senator warned. How many times have I been saying that? I mean, understand that this is all caught. I'm talking to you through the news. This has already been stated. Now we finally get a Congress critter in the Senate saying the very same thing. You could be there. You can know it. This should be a common knowledge across all the people. So the common knowledge will start to act and speak. Not, oh, I'm amazed to hear this. No, this is, you see the violation of the principle right up front. In other words, don't do to them what don't allow to be done to them what you don't want to be done to yourself is another principle working here. And you see that people are now, they said it. Russia said it. They've told us. The reason why BRICS fired up is because they can't, they politicized the dollar. And I've suggested, and many people have, that they should have never done that. And now Rand Paul's coming up to explain a little better in this article, more concisely, relative to the things about economy. Hitting economy is an act of war. Hitting their assets is a sovereign theft of a sovereign's wealth. Pretty big deals going on here. Quote, they will seek to move away from the dollar and hold their reserves in other currencies, he said. This process of de-dollarization will be an unmitigated disaster as it will degrade America's financial strength and ensure prosperity Americans have come to expect is no longer attainable. Moscow has maintained that any attempt to confiscate its assets would violate international law, and the Russian foreign minister has dismissed the freezing of Russian assets as outright theft. And so if anybody who says they agree with that is called a pro-Russian propagandist, the people who say that are absolutely ignorant, or they're thieves, is the whole point. There's certain principles that all peoples, not Shuri peoples, but all peoples around the world should be able to understand and know so that they understand when the theft is on. And this is one of those things. You wouldn't want to have someone come and steal your stuff. Now, the United States government does it through asset forfeiture, don't they? And they have their legitimacies, and they flip the burden to you. So this is all in these lines right here. Just looking for opportunities to predate somebody to steal their wealth. Now, Russia's big enough and coherent enough around the world, and better now, even more so, to be able to fight that, understand that situation as well. And they diminish us as people, and we don't have that ability to do so. But despite its non-existence, and any excuse to be a predatorially opportunistic here is explained by the changing of the rules. Who sits on the rules actually can command the game. The rules-based order touted by the U.S. is an illusion. Washington and its allies are forcing on other nations, former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev said at an anti-neocolonialism forum in Moscow on Friday, quote, who has ever seen it? Where does it exist? It is not in a UN document, not some international convention, it's not law, Medvedev said, of the rules-based order during the international event called for the Freedom of Nations. Medvedev accused the U.S. of its allies of mismanaging the world economy, including by creating money not backed by real value. Quote, they take advantage of controlling the reserve currencies. Ultimately, it boosts global inflation and makes poverty on the worst of the planet. He explained, what have I been saying behind the woodshed? There is no real value. It's not necessarily created out of thin air, but it has that air. The point is we've moved as a people from species from actual money. They now speak in terms of currency. And he just explained again that we're not just talking, spewing. No, there's real basic things and principles that we've violated in ourselves and continue to move that Russia's not putting up with it anymore and calling it out. I think this is all a good thing. And I don't care. It doesn't matter to me if someone wants to call me pro-Putin or pro-Russian propagandist. When you find the principle that's the truth, you're dealing with a criminal who wants to call you names. They don't have the basis and the foundation, and you have to stand strong in what you've read. That's why I say you got to see this black and white. You have to understand these principles. So they're not just this amorphous, this little idea that floats around and just would sound good. No, these are long-standing principles. And people start doing that and doing the things the United States and its allies do, and it's bad. It's completely bad, and governments recognize it. It's more opportunistic than that can get away with because, well, we get the more opportunists coming because, well, government here, folks. UK workers must accept lower pay deals to help beat inflation, says bank rate setter. Now, what did I say about all the influencers in the background? You don't even hear them, IIEB. They're sitting back there rubbing shoulders. Yeah, this is how this comes out of here. It's on your back. You're a human capital. You're a beast of burden. Chattel cattle. Victory in the war on inflation will require British workers to accept lower pay deals and companies to rein in their profits, senior Bank of England policy maker has said. Again, policy maker, not law. Sarah Breeden, one of the central bank's four deputy governors, said that there was still some way to go before inflation would fall back to the 2% target set by the government for the bank to achieve on a sustainable basis. So your fiat fraudsters are stealing from you at any percentage of interest, first of all, i.e. that's usury, what I said you have to get rid of. Then they make you pay with your labor, cheapening it, when their magic eight ball is wrong and they don't want to stop printing debt, which is thieving from the people. So if you don't lose your job, which is what they're after, to get that, change that theft rate back, because they're stealing too much when it goes above 2% is what they found out, you'll make less or not work. Now that's economy, stupid. Wage slavery. And nobody notices the debtor prison they live in here. This is ongoing. It's not just because of the inflation. They're tapping into an existing system. Workers are wage slaves. And you will work for less or you will not work. Now you wait till they digitize this whole thing. You're paying for their theft, their opportunistic predation. It's fascinating. So if you're not recognizing you live in a debtor prison this whole entire time, the whole world seems to be, or you don't know that there's no usury or interest plunder with gold and silver coin as an alternative, you're going to accept this thing that they set up for us. And so, again, there's so many details here. Sales almost seems we might be incapable of dealing with it, but I know if we take it bit by bit, we can go ahead and take down this thing by reinstituting things of principles and the principles to protect those principles of the property and our labor, our efforts in the world. And so UK workers may have to take less wages. Think about that. Think about how they command your life. They can literally come out and tell you less. Is that going to be much different than the sesame social credit thing? If you take your social credit, meaning wages, if you take your universal basic income as the same thing, that's how they're going to adjust it. So your violation to our goals is now we're going to let you earn less for a while until you learn to behave right. But as this appeal now, if you have a job in that the employer required a jab here, despite it's in UK, despite they can take your money, if they required a jab, and this is in Australia, the wage slave can get compensation now in South Australia. And so pay attention. I'm talking to you all about this while this was going on. The tribunal orders compensation for South Australia government employee who developed pericarditis after COVID jab. Notice they aren't even talking that it's a vaccine in the title. interesting, but this is what they'll call it. In short, a former youth support worker has won an appeal against the South Australian government after he suffered pericarditis from a COVID vaccine. The tribunal found he was entitled to workers' compensation because it was mandated to have a booster shot to continue employment. What's next? The man will receive weekly income support and medical payments. So I guess you can only not kill yourself by the jab, or there is no compensation. Is that right? Is that how I'm supposed to understand this? Is that how that would work? Think about how that is, and what the court just said. And that might be a spreading cancer and a way you can fight back, starting in South Australia, the worst of the worst there. But maybe here someone should inform Epstein on that, because there is more evidence Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. And where is the client list of the suspects attorney general and the judge is protecting on all this, as you start understanding the opportunistic protection that goes on as well? And is Garland of the executive branch of government and the judge of the judicial branch on that pedo island client list full of executive branch players or not, is the Biden question. On and on and on. When you find out your government officials are compromised, they were compromisable, and now they're compromised. And that's why you see this anomalous output. And don't underestimate, it was for the children on all of this. The Rights of Child was an international law convention that was supposed to protect the children, to create systems to funnel them into the system so they could be doing this. I've talked to you about my study. That's where this all comes through. Just go find the Rights of Child and see of all the great warm and fuzzies they talk about, but just used as an open door to go exploit, predate on our little ones. New Jeffrey Epstein autopsy photo proves he didn't kill himself, says the brother. Mark Epstein has argued that the previously unreported image contradicts the official story about the convicted pedophile's demise. Mark Epstein's disgust the photo and other evidence in the interview on Friday with the U.S. podcast host Megyn Kelly. If Jeffrey Epstein had been found hanging from the upper bunk as reported, ligature marks should have gone up under his chin and behind his ears, his brother said. From that picture, the ligature mark on his neck is more in the middle of his neck and sort of goes straight back, he said. In a hanging, it goes really, really high up in front of the neck, and because you sink down into that noose. Mark Epstein also raised questions about an autopsy photo of his brother's legs, which didn't have lividity marks, contrary to official claims about his body position. If he was hanging the way they said, there would be evidence, a lividity mark on his legs or his buttocks. Mark Epstein has speculated that another inmate in the section of the jail where his brother was held killed him. The camera in that section wasn't working on the night of Epstein's death, according to the government authorities, who have refused to release footage from the camera outside the wing or to disclose the identity of the other inmates. And the burden here is on the government, I think, as well, to show it's not obstructing justice in the jailer's failed duty to protect its trustee, just like your little goats, government controllers. It's trustee here. And yes, it would be even Epstein to prove to the contrary that Epstein didn't kill himself. And as I go to do this again here, we're at BTWRLM 564. For those of you coming in after the hour to hear it, want to know what am I talking about, where do you go to get the links, because you just want to read and study more to understand this world a little bit better, or you really want to hear me ask for more donations that just happened a few minutes ago. So that you can touch that donate button, please. So you can't, remember now, here at the break, which is not a break, you can't go wrong when you get behind the woodshed. They like those statements, huh? Kind of cool, right? So here, this next global notice, called The News, shows the purpose that the Russians used the Carlson-Putin interview for. And very interesting game of foreign and domestic chess going on with this, as the days here have gone on. Putin is getting more mileage out of it, even calling Carlson dangerous, giving him serious cred that we talked about last week to increase to Carlson as well while he's doing that. And understand the the diplomacy going on here too as well, when he gives cred to Carlson for being the most dangerous journalist, and what that does and how that dynamic works, while he also then diminishes brings up his vulnerability, if you will, and probably one of the most powerful men in the world at this point. Very interesting to watch how these folks do this, but he says that Carlson's dangerous, threatened him almost here in the way and his style, which was actually pretty peaceful. He said it was too quiet, but he didn't get to present what he wanted to, although I think it was way plenty relative to what they needed to be doing. We'll see. I've been saying here that they take the Russians at face value. They will tell you their position if you just listen. This has never been a question, though the challenge Tucker Carlson posed to himself to find out actually puts that question in there, and Putin sees that as being dangerous. See, I don't. Russia, Putin, the officials there in Russia have explained fully what is going on from their perspective, if anybody would have listened. And you can go back in my archive, you can hear me picking that up, you can hear me telling you, and there hasn't been, I haven't been a head fake for us behind the woodshed, if you did so, on seeing this. So Carlson's getting some big kudos here. A very interesting dynamic going on, this little game that's being played. And I think it's serious enough. I think it's not a game so much as a game, but we're learning how to influence people when we have censorship in the way, and how to utilize techniques and tactics. And I'm asking everyone just to look at this news to be able to learn these tactics for yourself. And like I said, sometimes you have your knowledge you have to put in your hip pocket. You don't lead with all how much you know. Maybe you don't even need to. Just understand what's going on and lead only with what you need to do. And it doesn't hurt to give credit to other people. Putin's not getting hurt here one little bit on saying that Carlson is dangerous. Obviously, he's not that kind of dangerous. So, very interesting. But here, I want to add on all this before getting to the next article. The international promo that people globally here starved of the narrative from Russia, of information from Russia, or that people were thirsty for that kind of in-depth explanation, or, as it states in the article, that it was mind-blowing and explosive, if you read other articles as well, or other such descriptors as I've read from, is not true. As I said, none of this, this is a big promotion about this as well, that both sides are actually using. It's pretty fun to watch in some regard. And I guess I feel okay about it, because this is just educating people and hopefully getting them to think more correctly. And this is about peace. This is about trying to slow this thing down, not get it so wild, stop the rules-based order nonsense, get back to principles, and everybody get back to the statesmanship, diplomacy, and all that first. So, as I've said over and over, there's not much materially new information offered by Putin at all in this, even though they're using it, or which could be found, all of which here could be found from the public record, or by the actions taken by the various nations that would have seen or heard or perceived of which Russia has been explaining for at least a couple of years on what's going on, and then which explanation I've been showing much longer as you've listened behind the woodshed. Anyone saying here different was not looking, listening, or caring to know, or just outright lying. And that's what the United States government regime is certainly doing to Russia. Russia's dismay, I'm certain, just listening to them. And then what do? You politicize something, you lie about it, and then you get people that don't trust it, and they won't engage you anymore. And that's Russia's being really good at still keeping the hand out to shake the hand and let's start talking, but they're really not agreeing. They're not going to accept much anymore. In fact, they're talking about more and more that the Minsk agreement, that it was a setup. And they found out a little bit too late. That's why they delayed going into Ukraine. But that was a fraud, and they're not too happy with that at all. It's going to take a big, big diplomatic conciliation on the United States part or the West to do anything here now. But in an acknowledgement here by comparative description, admits a prior knowledge and evidence is lying, such as what we can read about, and Russia picked up on immediately in this article, where Kremlin strikes back at emotional reaction of Scholz and Sunak to Putin-Tucker interview. Again, you're looking at the interplay. You're looking for what's the truth and how to discern what that is, and teaching yourself how to be able to do so. In this story, Schultz has called the Putin-Tucker interview absurd during his recent meeting with the U.S. President Joe Biden, while Sunak has also condemned the interview when speaking on the air with Sky News. Quote, apparently, they are familiar with the content of the interview, and this is the main thing for us, Peskov, the Russian official, says. The spokesman mentioned the Western leaders have heard Putin's stance on the conflict in Ukraine another time, and this is the main thing. Quote, and their emotional reactions likely stem from the current state of affairs in their respective countries and their attempts to justify their actions to their taxpayers, Peskov said. This is big statements here going on. That's what I told you about international law. Be very careful of what you recognize and what you don't, because the other side of that coin is what people will take. And Russia is very good at doing that. They're doing it right here. What I've explained to you is working in diplomacy is stated right in this article right there. When they made an adjective over what these leaders made an adjective over what the Putin interview, the Carlson interview was, they have to have a basis, right, in order for that to work. And Peskov picks right up on it. So I have to give it to these Russians. They're paying attention. And it's a serious matter that's going on in the world with the drumming of the nuclear thing. You know, that has to be tamped back down. So this is not, we really shouldn't be we shouldn't be disregarding what our words are doing, and because they can cause trouble. And it's Putin is speaking here to the world as well. He is speaking to all the Russians whom he needs to keep trust and confidence and over and above his domestic difficulties. So there's this interview, again, looking at the situation, the condition, what a ruler of a country has to do, a leader of a country has to do. They're managing a whole lot, and they're cognitive of this thing. And I want you to understand that, because ultimately, where you live, the country you live in, whoever's running that show for that time has to keep your confidence or your trust. And when they lose it, you're watching, on the other hand, the countries in the world losing, when they politicize the dollar, they're losing confidence and trust. They then see that same predatory opportunist step forward and steal someone's assets they had. You're likely not going to get future assets to be holding as a trustee. Right? So this is a very serious dynamic going on. And I want to add, before getting here to the next article on that, reminding you about the statements, the promo to the people, the adjectives being used to build this thing up. That's all they are. They're just adjectives to build something up that I don't really think deserves part of this. And part of that is also another type of a covering. They want to make it sound and give more credit to it, like it's some put it up on a pedestal. I'm asking us, don't let them do that to us. Don't let them let us drop our guard because we think maybe Tucker Carlson's doing something. He's learning too. Whether that's genuine or not, I'm not so sure. He's certainly had blinders over his eyes, and the most recent stuff regarding him being in Moscow and going to the stores and seeing so-called how cheap things are, how people respond to that. Oh, it's because we have a better economy. No, folks, if we had a better economy, we'd have a better purchasing power. Our prices wouldn't be four times higher. They'd be four times better because we could buy in bulk. So this whole thing is a propaganda to get people relative to their location feeling good about themselves, or in this case, radicalizing us. And I don't want us to go in the pendulum swing of this. The Western leaders here must respond to keep their trust and confidence of their oblivious human capital, chattel, cattle on their plantations as well, as we see the give and take on this, what's going on. Very interesting dimension being played out in all this relative to this interview that I don't know that many people see. I don't know what I'm missing, but I'd see this much. You know, once the consent here of the governed is financially lost, the governors are themselves destined to the flame broiled fire, as we're talking, you're talking going to food and all this, but because here, at least in America, cows have guns. The human capital, chattel, cattle, the cows have guns, or tractors, or apparently also chickens and choppers. And that's what the leaders are paying attention to. Are you aware of that? So I'm not going to say that Carlson just went there to chew the fat because he made the move to bring his beef to Russia. That Putin, the chef, took the beef and cooked up his specialty, the creme de la creme of what was speaking to the foreign intelligence services as well on this thing. And so everyone in the world could hear some of the things at stake, whether flame broiled or marinating, which you helped people pay attention to. And there were some things that he was talking directly to the foreign intelligences that were between them. No one knows, not many people know about some of these things that are going on. And so he's talking right in front of everybody, not talking to any of them, just the foreign intelligence. So this sort of kitchen magic may be one for the history classes if the cancel-cultured schools ever start teaching about statesmanship and statecraft again instead of creating sustainable ambassadors. But don't underestimate on this that it appears Putin is both as he cooks up the future that they want as well, as I've been talking, while dealing with the Ukraine kitchen fire and what's at stake, the synthetic beef, and what's on his west flank. Upon that culinary intention, I did my best to point the breadth of Putin's menu in 280-some-odd characters, so you know I don't have a blue check. I'm not part of the accepted town square, but I said to Tucker, responding to his interview, I'm not sure why it's relevant to 2 years ago, that Tucker Carlson, you haven't listened. His comment was, I'm not sure why it's relevant 2 years ago what Putin was talking of the history. And I say, you haven't listened, but your inattentiveness allowed Putin to explain beyond the censor's wall to Americans, national intel services, Russians, and the rest of the world. And I hope this resets a path to peace to your credit. Speaking to Tucker Carlson, I really do hope this did it. It was interesting to me, I guess is the word ironic, that his ignorance actually opened the door. His failure to listen actually opened the door to allow Putin to explain, which was needed because the propaganda machine in the West is drowning out the I don't like to use the word narrative, the facts of what's going on. And each side does have their point and their position and their principle, but we're not using any of it. And then one side is just, you know, browbeating the other, or worse, way worse. And so this is a serious thing. We're talking about our sons and daughters going to war, nuclear war, whatever. We see the new technology coming, it's just decimating soldiers, whether they're women or men. And so this is and we watch the West abandon the principles. I'm just shocked. I'm shocked. How do you get through this when you shut down and you close out someone and then demand that they talk with you under your set of rule-based order? It's really not going to happen. As I said, enough is enough. Putin stepped up. China stepped up. Now the rest with that, the rest of the South, they call it, and others are stepping up, and they're just not having it. So very serious times here. I think it all can be worked out, like it could be, but we got to get some people out of the Biden regime. The U.S. regime needs a serious overthrow, even at the voter level, a serious overthrow, but you can't keep throwing the same people in. So I don't know. There's going to have to be some people that aren't political to step in and just start doing the right thing. Start getting a foundation for yourself to be those, or go in and become influential to turn someone's opinion. Find some representative that's willing. I've told you about all this, so I won't go that again. That's a possibility. It's just a lot of work because the momentum is against knowledge and principle and rightful things. We've given over too much to those that are called experts. And we never thought to say, well, wait a minute, you don't even have an authority. In government, you don't have an authority. In acting and in duties, you don't have that authority. You have an authority, but it's not that authority. So we really have to start taking stock on how this is all working. But we're moving here through the tabs, and more notice from Ukraine and the impeccable U.S. profiteering influence. Pharmaceutical testing on defenseless cattle. It wasn't about that. It's about people. West Big Pharma conducted drug testing on Mariupol's psychiatric patients for years. Okay, I talked about this, the Lugar Institute, all this stuff that was going on in Ukraine and Georgia, not the state, the country, and the United States is pushing all this. Now the records are coming forward that the Russians have found, according to documents obtained by Sputnik, major Western pharmaceutical companies, with the assistance of Ukrainian officials, reportedly conducted testing on rheumatological drugs on patients in Mariupol psychiatric ward for several years. These documents detailed a series of human experiments. There's your cattle, human animals, experiments involving certain undisclosed drugs which were solely identified by numbers. Such companies as Pfizer, AstraZeneca, stop me when you haven't heard them, Centrion, Novartis International, AG, IQVIA, Sanofi, Galapagos, NV, Janssen Pharmaceuticals, Abbott Laboratories, Covenants, Merck, MGAA, Centocor, Biopharmaceutical, and the branch of Samsung that produces medical equipment were mentioned in the documents. In addition, boxes containing many ready-made envelopes from logistics companies and containers for biomaterial with recipient addresses of laboratories to Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the United States were found on the side of the hospital. Now, what is left in the imagination in this this article is a state X in stated in another part here that Russia's release of the documents exposing major pharmaceutical companies in America and beyond confirms not only the existence of secret bioweapons program targeting Slavic DNA, but explains why the West in general has become so pathologically obsessed with trying to keep Ukraine in the NATO EU US orbit of influence, explained by Scott Bennett, a former US Army psychological warfare officer in the US State Department. So, very interesting here. It wasn't just some rheumatological stuff. This was actually going after that DNA, Slavic DNA testing that we were hearing early on. But here, this ongoing cognitive warfare possibly being waged by this former, it says here, psychological warfare officer aside, remember, take note of that, I would maintain what they do over there, they'll do to you at home. And you're in doubt about that. Just look at the great COVID swindle, except in the population wasn't helpless or defenseless like the psychiatric ward patients were. And I've explained how not to be helpless or defenseless, and I hope you all remember in the future, if you are able, if you're not diminished, I don't mean in your mind and your capacity as far as doing things, I mean they diminish you from inside, or your bias perception you've bought into that's not real. Again, buy-in, right, to the new future. But here in statecraft, accepting realities is a must. And Putin, the only statecraftman in the global room, it seems, apparently, said so in an interview as to realities. Russia now asserts this requirement, but before I go there, I want my listener to be prepared to apply this to United States after Russia sets the reality table. Ukraine must accept new reality. I want us to remember we have realities to be looking for. We can't be persuaded away from that. This is how they're really doing it. This is that terminological problem as well. This is like giving you, like you heard the Hamana or the rules AI, they give you a big list of stuff and none of it's applicable. You think it's authoritative. You think it's they're looking at everything. Well, they not have the right to look at everything. They only have a right to look and use certain tools for certain purposes. So we have to learn how to discern what that is. And you have to get what the black and white says about all that. But Ukraine must accept a new reality. Russians are coming now with assertion, with power. Kiev will have to accept a new reality first before any new talks with Moscow can actually start, President spokesman Dmitry Peskov has said, presidential spokesman. Ukrainian authorities must accept the new conditions, no matter how painful it might be for them, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov has said. He was responding to a question on the prospects on the new talks between the two warring countries. Quote, should we begin the same negotiations? There's a completely different reality now, and this new reality, no matter how painful it may be for the Kiev regime, must be recognized. So here you see a country in power with the power now saying enough is enough, and you're going to have to meet us, or we have nothing. We're not listening to your noise anymore. And I'm asking people, United States, everybody in countries anywhere, start cutting through that noise. Don't listen to that. Have an a real authority to come with so that you point out how what you're hearing is a noise to get you to bring yourself vulnerable to the predatory opportunists. They seem to be everywhere now. We can see here in a statecraft accepting reality is a must, if that is. Putin, the only statesman craftsman. So if you listen to the interview, he's doing all of that. He's doing all of that work. It's pretty fascinating. But they, after that now, they're asserting that there is a new reality. There's a new sheriff in town, if you will. And Russia is powerful enough to be able to pull it off. And so this is where we have to take a lesson. How do we empower ourselves? How do we become powerful? Knowledge is not the only thing. I said knowledge is not power. It can be powerful, but when it's properly applied. So that's all the lessons I'm seeing through all these notices today, or through this tabs. Now let us jump to the United States and toss in and to assist on the same dressing from the United States government some intelligent statecraft to this ongoing open wound to heal it. But first, here a public notice on the cognitive capacity of the guest of honor-ish attending the feast. And months ago, I saw the clues suggesting that to remove Biden with the least adverse political effect, that they were going to use his diminished mental capacity. Well, I'm not disappointed in that observation today, and what a doozy they've hit on it. Really kind of interesting to watch this. Ground is shifting under Biden's feet after her report. Talk about a reality and having to come to terms with that reality. Well, watch the multifaceted, as we watch this thing go out, watch the multifaceted utility that may come from this. Last week, special counsel Robert Hur released a bombshell report declining to press charges against United States President Joe Biden, partially because his report said the president would appear to the jury as an elderly man with a poor memory and therefore would have trouble convincing the jury of his intent. Now, understand, this guy Biden has access to the nuclear football. On the other hand, he may not remember that or where the nuclear football is in any regard. So we don't know. Special prosecutor counsel presumes upon the usurpers the opinion of the jury of the judicial branch, his opinion from the executive branch, of which justice should have been entitled. Listen very carefully for what he did there. He puts his opinion onto what a jury might find. That's not his authority, but he did it anyway. So he's made his report. This is a really big way to go. It's not supposed to be where he makes that decision. They do have a prosecutorial decision, but he's just a special counsel doing a study, and I don't see where he has authority. So how do you, as you look and analyze this, how do you like those tripartite road apples? We're given a pile of them, nice and conveniently packaged. They are really getting this nicely done. I don't know why it's surprising me so much that how they're pulling this together. And as I suspected here, that taking Biden out through an understandably cognitive decline they fix a bevy of their other problems in the process. It's quite amazing to watch what they're doing here. What it gets them in the end, I don't know, but they're doing it. It's the point. Watch how they pull this off. Understand the organization behind the scenes that has to be working and what clues are being sent out by not giving any clues at all on who are picking up the pieces. And we can watch how those players are going to be starting to come together. We saw one of them come right out. I'm ready to serve. Wow. It's pretty quickly. But here, these missteps, are these missteps that they're doing, are they political, are they a political oxymoron? Too acutely here, stupid for trial is what he's actually said. He's talking about the President of the United States. Article here, too old for the court, but not for the White House. Biden escapes from justice is peak absurdity, says this author. The U.S. president has predictably been let off the hook for mishandling state secrets and jeopardizing national security. This isn't a minor violation of protocol either. Her found evidence that Bifley, quote, willfully retained and disclosed classified materials from his two terms as vice president. The special counsel also found that Biden's conduct presented serious risk of national security given the vulnerability of sensitive information to loss or compromise to Americans' adversaries. the mishandled documents contained information, quote, implicating sensitive intelligence sources and methods, close quote, including White House deliberations on the U.S. occupation of Afghanistan. Biden's defenders argue that this case wasn't as bad as Trump's because, unlike Bad Orange Man, the president cooperated with investigators and surrendered his documents when they were discovered. That's both unmitigating and untrue. Being cooperative after committing a criminal offense doesn't make one less guilty of the crime. In a nutshell, it's about who you are, not whether you broke the law. Never mind the crimes were probably committed and that the national security was jeopardized, Biden's DOJ concluded. The president is so scatterbrained and demonstrably old that jurors wouldn't feel comfortable sending him to prison. That's even a different complexion on this story than what Herr had said, actually. But everybody knows that when it comes to Biden's mental illness for the job, this emperor has no clothes. I'm looking at that. Everybody, folks? Everybody? If then the people are apparently fine with cognitively challenged president is above the law while he holds the control of a nuclear nation and without benefit of a health secretary of defense, is he too cognitively challenged to stand for trial but not too cognitively challenged to hold the office of president, really? This seems here we have severely overrated the needed intelligence capacity of politicians then. Now just apparently any moron will do. There's a ton of things in this whole story coming down. But I was wondering how, the only thing I could think of, they would take him out mentally. He's a liability. Sure enough, they're going that way. And then we finding out who's going to be stepping up and how that all plays up. But before we go there, as we hear the genocidal intent and escalation by the unlawful belligerent occupier Zionist Federation movement committing further as yet unaccountable atrocity overseen by an apparently fatally cognitively challenged president, if the special counsel here is to be believed, Rafah invasion to complicate things for Israel enormously. Early on Monday, Israel launched a bombing campaign near the Rafah border with Egypt and an area Palestinians in Gaza were told to flee to during the early stages of an Israeli campaign. More than 67 Palestinians were killed, according to the Health Ministry of Gaza and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who promised a coming ground invasion in Rafah, while Netanyahu has promised that civilians would be given safe passage. He has not indicated where 1.7 million people are to go. This is a wanton, rabid Zionist dog here, folks, with zero rights to do what they're doing. And I've talked about that. It's not my opinion. This is, again, those international law that the rules-based order just ignores, changes it for their own. And I think it's time for the U.S. government to accept the new realities, as Putin is pulling out of here, saying there's new realities now. That new realities is good statecraft requires to acknowledge it supports and is on the wrong side and to make amends to what's going on there. As we read in the article here, Dr. Hassan Anal, a professor of political science and international relations at the Başkent University in Turkey, said that Israel's actions in Rafah will complicate the situation for Israel enormously, noting that even its staunchest ally, the United States, has expressed concerns publicly about the operation. The situation is likely to turn world opinion against Israel more than it already has, you know, argue. I pray so, folks. I'm hoping that people will start seeing what the law about this is, what the Palestinians were promised, and what this whole issue is, so that we understand what the relative rights and properties are, what the rights were given, the self-determination that's being denied to them by an oppressor, by a belligerent occupier that cannot even follow the law of war. Now, additionally here, it's a world opinion becomes formidable and decisive action to stop this apparently and yet unstoppable evil. Again, it's this mass looking, even though it's not doing much right now, which I'm disappointed, but it's now being able to see this. But here, if we look at that, what he just said, this academic goes on to promote a two-state solution. So he's wrong here, if I may be so bold. He brings himself complicit with the original wrongdoing between the Nazis, Hitler, the United Kingdom, and the United Kingdom, and the Vatican, and the rest of the nations that recognized the State of Israel, as I explained, under international law, but they didn't have a right to do that either. this is a globalized abomination. Boy, I've told you there's probably not many countries that are going to step in. So to my mind, I've got an answer why we're not seeing much action, why they continue to be killed, and that Israel, the definitive criminal in the world, an evil, is getting away with it. It's astounding. But why, if we can allow that, any minor offense to that, I guess it's acceptable too. And that's the other thing, desensitizing us to all that. So how about we have about that newfound reality here, that cancer, when we look at this, the United Kingdom's monarch, Charles, was just diagnosed with causing him to step back from his duty. I was thinking he was jabbed too, right? I think so. And the prince was jabbed to that, wasn't he? Yes, I think he was. But with what? And this is, I got me thinking, and this is a historic type thing. The King of England, not the same king, allowed the stuff in Palestine. The British troops protected the state of Israel to overthrow those people from their land. And I'm wondering whether there's something coming down, looking at cancer, and he's pulled back from his duties, caused me to think then of his son. And it was famously here reported that he's not known which vaccine the Duke was given. And so now we're wondering, remember we were talking that they were doing tests, they were a global experiment. Some people may have gotten saline. And you wouldn't know. So given, as we can see, and we apply now the law, being that there was no vaccine as a matter of communicable disease law, what were they vaccinated with? So apparently Prince Duke, whatever, didn't receive the same turbo cancer batch. And I'm wondering why. I guess those reports that young Prince William was already being groomed for the crown early on were on schedule, folks. But to hear if Rafah, the Semitic or Hebrew name Raphiah, means well-being and prosperity, or in reference to Archangel Raphael, means God heals, what's the Zionist destruction of Rafah infer that the United States continues to be cool with, that in its regrettable missteps of the destruction of the Semitic Palestinian people without more on this, where are we supposed to be placed with all this? I found this fascinating with what's being attacked by the Zionists. And maybe we're back to who's allowing this? Is the President of the United States? Maybe the addled Biden and the rest of his regrettable regime should stop insisting he is still a Zionist who believed Hamas must be destroyed and Israel protected in accepting this new, actually not so new reality, that the Zionist Federation movement, Nazi pogrom, was always wrongful, and finally denazify Palestine of this evil element. And how does Putin intend on denazifying Kanukistan and the rest of the West, then? As we heard in the interview, he was outing Canada for the fact that they did do that. Remember? So that was pretty ominous in my thought. Putin was talking about how we're going to denazify wherever Nazis are. I hope people picked up on that. And so, relative to Adult Biden here, cognitively disabled, there's nothing holding Biden back now. He's not politically or mentally viable and beholden, at least even to AIPAC with a mental dysfunction that he has. Biden privately disses Netanyahu. U.S. President Joe Biden was reportedly called Israel a PM, over Israeli intransigence in Gaza. The U.S. President Joe Biden has been not notified his Israeli policy, despite mounting frustration with the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's refusal to compromise in Gaza, which has erupted into name-calling in private. So perfect time here to accept the new reality, Brandon, I think, and do what's right. Go out on top here while you're going down, while they're taking you out, Brandon. Listen very carefully. You can do that while you're at the bottom with the worst. And we can maybe take a little bit back that you didn't cause at the end going out. And then there was this follow-on story. IDF kills over 10,000 Hamas fighters in the Gaza Strip since October 7th. Listen carefully here, the math on this, what they're admitting. Quote, so far he We have eliminated 10,000 terrorists, including many commanders. This is what dismantling Hamas means, IDF Chief of Staff Herzi Halevi said on Tuesday. Meaning, folks, that the other 30,000 plus killed or admittedly not terrorists that the illegal belligerent occupier claims that they were when attempting to justify murdering Semitic children, women, and men underneath the cover that not even children are innocent on this. Remember, 10,000 Hamas are killed, but many tens of thousands have been hurt. That admits that these folks weren't terrorists, even if the Zionists had a right to attack the resistors of their illegal belligerent occupation. I think the Bible says otherwise, and how unaccountably demonic these people are to say that children are not innocent and then go kill everybody and then only say, well, we killed only 10,000 that were terrorists and 30,000 or more now have died. And people watch this, I'm stunned. I'm just stunned. But they confess another sinister truth inside what sounds like a noble cause. They say the IDF continues to operate wherever terrorism exists and does not intend to stop, Halevi added. Quite a statement when applied globally. Wherever terrorism exists, then we find out that the illegal belligerent occupier Zionists are, by international law, the terrorists. And we can read the sinister plot again. The IDF continues to operate wherever the terrorist Zionist Federation exists and does not intend to stop. When you reread that, rewrite it for yourself of what he's actually saying when you look how to add this stuff. And I'm reminded of the dancing Israelis during the three buildings dropped in their own footprint at free fall speed. Yeah, at different times, but with only two planes. And then the ex-Twitter post just last week, by the Israeli account recently stating, we'll dance again. Yeah, they admit terrorism is wherever the Zionist Federation is. Fascinating how bold these demons are, and to take credit while people watch. In functional silence, the crickets, as I keep bringing up, their political representatives fostering, encouraging, and funding this genocide, while in denial of it. It's fascinating what we let go by. But there's little enclaves of thought here that aren't going with it. One country determined not to make any cognitively addled missteps has also determined demonic war in Palestine is a violation of the law of war. NATO members have stopped sending F-35 parts to Israel. A Dutch court has blocked the export, citing a risk of human rights violations in Gaza. The appeals court in The Hague ruled on Monday that the Netherlands must stop sending Israel spare parts for its F-35 fighter jets, saying that there is a risk that the U.S.-made aircraft are being used for serious violations of international humanitarian law against Palestinians. Responding to a lawsuit launched by several human rights groups in December, a lower court ruled that the sale of fighter jet parts was a political decision. The appeals court disagreed. The Netherlands must prohibit the export of military goods if there is a clear risk of serious violations of the humanitarian law of war, the judges said on Monday. The parts in question are owned by the United States, but the Netherlands houses a regional warehouse where they are stored and sent to countries that compromise the F-35 consortium. Israel has received at least one shipment since October last year. Now, I suppose those parts will be housed now in a different country very soon, but if there was a question and a hesitation in the ICJ decision, also at The Hague here, the Dutch judiciary wasn't so noncommittal to find that the Zionist Federation is violating international law. If anyone had a question, such as the cognitively addled of Biden or his regime of caretakers in this matter. And other people's oblivious to the fact that they are being genocided, if and they think they're not slaves, war are good for the sustainable reset through depopulation, if you got that put together. No one left to have children. Again, no one left behind, folks. Ukraine conscription efforts to decimate birth rates. Another form of no child left behind here because none are innocent. Ukraine cannot afford to lose more money, more young people to the front lines. Otherwise, there won't be enough to have children and replenish the population. International relations and security analyst Mark Sloboda has said. Once you got into the 90s, and particularly the mid-90s, people were not having children. Remember, Ukraine doesn't exist as this rump state till 91. Ukraine can literally not afford to lose any more young people because then there will be no one left to have children, Sloboda stated. Nonetheless, Ukraine has to go forward with a mass conscription plan if it wants to replace its massive losses, particularly in Adovyevka, according to the analyst. However bad you think it is, it's much worse. Slavoka is saying that the newly appointed Ukrainian commander-in-chief, Alexander Sirsky, is repeating Ukraine's failed strategy in Bakhmut and is doubling down on the increasingly circled city. So the U.S. government says to the last Ukrainian, folks, you've seen it in the news before all this, he's saying they can't afford any more, but it's not saying about the Palestinians, but also not stopping an admitted terrorist from doing so, and from which the United States government admits it benefits geopolitically over there in Palestine, and likely why the open, unaccountable hypocrisy of where we see a senior U.S. official saying, we do not support the military operation in Rafah under current circumstances, making him a liar. So we're looking at the people. You decimate populations, you're getting rid of them. That's by definition, genocide. And so without U.S. money here, we know the military hardware support for the Zio terrorists could not commit genocide there. And on the Arab side, what dire consequences the Egypt threatens for invading Rafah? Big talk here, no action. Egypt's got their tanks going rolling up. What are you going to do with a bunch of people in between? Is a bunch of nonsense going on, and innocent Semitic Palestinians inhabitants will die on all this. We see the reflection from Ukraine, what's happening to the Palestinians, and people still want to say that there's not a genocide going on. It's ludicrous. Actually, ludicrous. Men, women, and children alike are being killed, that none are left behind. Ukraine, not enough people replenishing themselves. There's a whole people that wrap themselves all wrapped up in all this. You don't have at least, Putin just said it again himself. It must be a big deal for all the overpopulation that we're supposed to be suffering, that they want to diminish the population of the world. The countries are starting to say we need more, even China, we need more people. Fascinating. The diametrically opposed views that we're going through. And just in time here to compete for the new killer turbo cancer business, Russia is close to a cancer vaccine. This title fascinated me. Speaking about the state of Russia medical science of the future technology forum in Moscow, Putin pointed out the enormous strides have been made in early detection and treatment of cancer, leading to higher survival rates. Quote, I will also add that we have come close to creating the so-called oncovaccines, vaccines against cancer and immunomodulatory drugs of a new generation. And I hope that soon they will be effectively used as methods of individual therapy, he said. Putin described the medical advancements he was shown at a forum as some kind of science fiction. Quote, even just a little while ago, we could only read about such things in the works of fantasy fiction, but today, all of this is becoming reality. All these areas are now just gaining momentum and are expected to produce a real revolution in medicine in the near future. One of the inventions is a special chip that can restore a person's sight if implanted into the brain. The technology is currently undergoing clinical trials. Well, let me go back to the beginning of this. In vaccines, they say. Do we infer then that, as defined by local communicable disease law, the cancer is spread by some sort of infectious agent? Now, that's interesting. A cancer-causing bacteria, maybe, here? What are they really talking about? Or how about a novel lipid protein analog delivered at warp speed? Listen to what's developed over this COVID swindle and what's moving forward. The great bioweapon reset and climate change hysteria aside here, Russian scientists reveal breakthrough in hydrogen energy fuel. All this stuff really, this is the more exciting stuff that's going on, people coming together and working together. Well, in this case, it's the Russians doing their thing. They've always got a special place in my heart relative to what they study. I think they embraced Tesla a lot more. They actually went in the better direction than what people, I guess, in the United States do relative to that technology and other things, way fascinating other things that goes on. So I've always watched the Russian mind on how it goes and solves problems. But here, specialists from the Boretskov Institute of Catalysts, the Russian Federation Research Center, part of the Siberian branch of Russian Academy of Science, collaborated with the researchers from the Hydrogen Center, part of a national technological initiative platform, to discover the very first alternative to hydrocarbon fuels for syngas production. Syngas, another demonic thing maybe, but no, syngas is used for fuel elements in promising hydrogen energy. We were the first ones to demonstrate that producing syngas from dimethyl oxymethane through air conversion was possible. Counter to thermodynamics, the reactions proceed as efficiently as possible at 400 degrees. Quote, the specialists were first ones to ever successfully convert the synthetic organic dimethyl oxymethane compound into synthesis gas, for the supply of solid oxygen fuel cells, the center said. The relatively low reaction temperature of 400 degrees and high purity of the product allows making SOFC-based power plants autonomous, mobile, and more compact. Now, how did this guy say this with a straight face, folks? Counter to thermodynamics? This is a very interesting report here. Low temperature to boot on top of that. Astounding claim. The reaction proceeds efficiently as possible at 400 degrees. The site of reference by the specialist is not, if you look, the side reference by a specialist is not a scientist. The cooler fusion here, counter to thermodynamics. How cool is that, folks? How do you go counter to thermodynamics? Is exposing all this stuff we've been led down the primrose path about that may not be so, that our young minds should have been voraciously tearing down and looking at reality, the new reality, which is the real reality. And these comments here, counter to thermodynamics on low temperature, boy, that sure brings up a bunch of things relative to what? Cold fusion and things like that. And it's about resonance. It's not about power and force. It's about sympathetic things, and it's about low energy that causes biasing for other systems to work. And I've given you a little thumbnail on how my mind has worked for a long time, which allowed me to develop a couple of things which work on low energy. The 400 degrees is below the temperature of burning paper. Understand this. And then we have catalysts, and we have resonance and tuning structures and all this kind of stuff that comes to bear. And it's very fascinating what they're doing. More power to them. We could use alternative energies. I'm not saying that the fossil fuels, the dim bones, is a problem necessarily, but the problem is we may not have enough energy generally, and then we could get off of this expensive stuff. See, they don't want to give us the energy that each one of us needs. That's another plan. And so understand that part. But I hope something I said to you today, get your mind moving around and find something that you can get interested in. Jump onto that. If that's your skill set, do it. And then come together at some point with other people like-minded. And hopefully make this world a better place, better than I'm watching going on down now. And maybe there's some people that we may not be too enthused about, like the Russians, if we want to go there, the boogeyman, that maybe have some insights as a world of people, we can all actually benefit from, not as opportunists predating on one another. BTW RLM 564. I'll be with you next week. Tech tips, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I
just opened a whole case of Wolfpath.